Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you, from that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey. Dude, we're at episode 150.
Fantastic.
It's a big one. So big that we actually have a third person in the studio with us today. Say hello to Chris, otherwise known as Wings Fan from Sharks Land. Chris.
Hi, dudes.
How are you, Chris?
I've been better.
Why, are you disappointed?
Not disappointed.
No?
You
love long goodbyes?
We made it to game 7.
You did. That's good. Good for you.
And you made it back here into the studio for the second year in a row.
And we're so glad to have you. Will you continue to make these foolish bets?
This is the last year that we're losing the bet.
Oh.
Next year, if the two tango, you're feeling confident.
We'll talk about that next year.
Okay. All right. I like your style. Well, as our listeners know from last year, Chris is obligated to say any statement that we put in front of him. And we'll let the good times roll right now, dude.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm a Red Wings fan. Breaking news, dudes. Todd Bertuzzi's upper body injury was obtained from tugging too much root.
Well, that's really too bad. You know, we did speculate what might have been wrong with Todd Bertuzzi. He did just exit the game with an upper body injury, and we weren't totally clear. So we're glad that we got the inside scoop from you, and we hope that maybe he can resolve that problem right in the offseason.
In the offseason. A little extra training, maybe.
Yeah, that can, it's probably more specifically a wrist injury.
I'm not going to make a Pavel Datsyuk joke here, although I really want to. Let's keep going. Let's indulge with what Chris has brought us.
Oh, and, wow. Chris comes bearing gifts as he was required. Delightful. A toast here, gentlemen, to the San Jose Sharks in the conference finals. I know that you are on board for the Sharks to go all the way to the cup now that your wings are out. Salute, gentlemen.
Salute. Cheers.
Ah. Nothing like dead space. The breath of fire.
Sweet.
Someone get me a Prilosec. Well, dude, we're here not just to ridicule Chris, but we're also here to do a preview of the Western Conference Finals. We can also do a little talking about the Eastern Conference Finals, which has Tampa Bay taking on the Boston Bruins, which starts tonight. Mm-hmm. Actually, tonight. I got my DVR set. I'm definitely going to be paying a lot more attention to that series than I have a lot of the other series in the past, dude. But let's talk about Vancouver.
Okay.
Or shall we talk about Detroit first?
I think we should. Let's wrap up the loose ends. Chris is here. Let's wrap up the loose ends. I know we were just a big bundle of emotion on Thursday night, and now maybe we can be a little bit more,
well, here's some
factual about it. But speaking of facts.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm a Red Wings fan. One of the greatest defensemen in NHL history has a decision to make this offseason. Will he retire, or will he come back for another season of great hockey? The future of Ruslan Soleil has me on tingly pins and needles.
He is a juggernaut.
Yeah.
Good times.
At least he walked over the punchline. It was Ruslan Soleil. That's a good one. I like that one. Wow, we're going again. He has got more things to say.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm a Red Wings fan. I know I made a comment earlier about the greatest defenseman in Ruslan Soleil. That was out of line. What I meant to talk about was the future of my hero and personal favorite player, Nicholas Lidstrom. Sorry. His tasty slap shot. His smooth skating. It's still real to me, damn it. Sorry, I
love
that one.
No, that was awful. I gave him some acting coaching instructions here. It says for him to start to get emotional here and pretend to cry. And this is how it came out. That was the sound Jimmy Howard made when he got a snow shower.
Oh, well, you can't have everything. You can't have everything.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He's reading the cards.
It's a cold read.
It's a cold reading. It's a cold reading.
Well, let's kick it off with Nick Lidstrom and some of the other decisions that the Red Wings have to make in the offseason. And we talked about last year when when the Lynx lost, and you know this is getting to be a trend, dude.
A little bit.
What do you think, Chris, in terms of where you see your team going next year, and what is the future for this franchise?
Well, you know, we had the same team this year basically as we did last year, and pushed it further than last year. So I guess the older we get, the better we get.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Delightful.
That's
but some
of
these guys, I mean, there's some decisions definitely to be made here. You know, we can talk about if you feel Jimmy Howard is still the guy. I mean, I know that was questioned last year. Now, they signed him to an extension, so they definitely have a little bit of a commitment going, although it's a minor financial commitment. I think it's under $3 million. I mean, are you cool with them riding out Jimmy Howard? I mean, I know he had a good regular season. He had a good series, too. Do you think he's good enough, or do you want them to be active and try and maybe get a Brizgalla or something like that?
I'm happy with the way Jimmy Howard played. He could have done better in the regular season, but really, if he didn't play the way he did in that series, it would have been five games again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. He played. I mean, he
played great.
He was great.
Yeah,
he was
four games.
Right. I can't fault him for the way he played. But if you're going to have a goaltender with a .908 save percentage, I wonder if they might have had the number two seed, and it might have been in Detroit for Game 7.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? If he had league average .910, .915, that's another few goals. That's another win or two. They only were trailing the Sharks by a point.
I'm going to give credit where credit is due. I don't think that would have mattered.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Amen
to you.
Wow.
San Jose is in a tough division. They had 104 points, 105 points.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, even if San Jose is the visiting team in that series, I still think they would have won.
All right. What about
as
Nick Lidstrom?
As it pains me to say that.
Do you think Lidstrom is going to come back?
Four more years.
It sure seems like he could play four more years. I mean, there's no rust on his wheels at all. But if you had to make a prediction right now, what would you say? Is he back?
I think he's coming back. He's made it a point that he's missing his son. His son's playing in hockey.
That's my sound of Nicholas from missing
one,
his son.
Maybe two more years.
All right.
I don't want to see him do a Chris Chelios when he's 47.
Hang on too
the
long.
The guy's clearly got more in the tank.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I firmly believe that if he did retire, they would be extremely active in replacing him. It's not like they would just trot out Jonathan Erickson for 22 minutes. You know, they would make a move for a Thomas Cabrelle, dude, don't you think? They would try and poach Keith Yandel off the Coyotes.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
They would definitely, you know, when they lost Schneider, they got Brian Rafalski. You know what I mean?
And that's an upgrade.
You've got two amazing all-world players in Datsyuk and Zetterberg. You're not just going to surround them with garbage.
Not that the rest of the Red Wings D is garbage, but if you're missing maybe the second best defenseman of all time and you're replacing him and you're giving his minutes to
Jeff Finger
and Brad Stewart. I mean, not that Brad Stewart's a bad player, but I mean, you're talking about a guy who's been one of the best power play quarterbacks for 15 years.
Yeah.
And now you're going to put Nicholas Cronwall on the point. It's like, Nicholas Cronwall can hit, but I'm not that scared of him in the point the same way.
Well, he did score some, pretty sweet goals against
because
the Sharks.
Because the Sharks put five guys in the crease and he walks in between the circles and gets a loose puck.
Oh, Chris has something to say.
Oh, really?
Hi, I'm Chris and I'm a Red Wings fan. Now that the Red Wings season is over, I have more time to watch my favorite television show, The View. You see, as a Red Wings fan, I'm really into whiny bitches. Go Sharks!
Well, it's good to see that you have a reality check.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of time for you to watch The View.
Yeah, plenty.
Well, is that enough about the Red Wing Sharks, dude? Or you have anything else you want to ask Chris?
No, I think that's pretty good. I mean, I fully expect we're going to see the Wings at about the same caliber next year as we did this year. Even if Lidstrom leaves, I think we're going to see them go out and get somebody. Maybe not a Cabrelle type, but maybe they might they'll go get a number four type guy, and then Rafalski will be promoted to the number one. Cromwell will step up. Stewart will step up. And hopefully Erickson might get a little bit better. And then they'll be roughly exactly where they were before. Datsyuk and Zetterberg, it's hard to beat those two guys together. It's just the Sharks couldn't deal with them once they started to click again. And they only escaped by the skin of their teeth, frankly. So I'm happy. So, dude, I have a whole new music bed for the Vancouver.
Oh, I'm ready.
Thing. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
I hope this is good. All right, dude. So, Vancouver, Western Conference Finals, number one versus number two.
Yeah.
So here we are, dude. This is where we were last year.
And we were supremely confident.
Yes.
Going into the Blackhawks series. We really were. We were nervous about Taze and Kane and Hossa. But I think we were feeling confident mainly because we completely underestimated Antti Niemi.
Right.
We didn't quite put the pure value on Dustin Byfuglien that we should have. So we're also fully aware of what the Canucks have to offer, right?
Yeah.
Kessler, the Sedins.
Right.
Who are we underestimating from the Canucks, and how else would you break down the team, dude?
Well, Kessler was the best player in the last round for the Canucks. And
he's
so,
American.
And he's an American.
Ooh, an American carrying a Canadian team.
Yeah.
That's got to sting a little bit.
That's got to hurt just a little
bit.
That's just got to be a little bit funny. But he's on the second line. He's not playing with the Sedins. So this is not unlike the Joe Pavelski situation with the Sharks last year, where you have this jumbo line and you sort of have to key off them. You don't want Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau and Danny Heatley scoring a billion goals. So what happens? Joe Pavelski gets more looks. And what's happening now? We have a line of Kessler, Higgins, and Mason Raymond. And now Kessler's getting more looks. Although, to be honest, three of his five goals have been on the power play. So to me, the number one key in this series, for sure, is special teams, without a doubt. And, like, Kessler is my number two, but he's distant. He's a distant number two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But right now, it's power play and penalty kill.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm a Red Wings fan. What a great series, dudes. I'm so sad my team lost. Well, at least I have the Detroit Lions.
What a great thing to look forward to going into the fall.
Wow. So good.
It's not even going to be any football. Let's piggyback this with one more.
All right.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm a Red Wings fan. Pavel Datsyuk's hands are so silky smooth that he soaks them three times a day in a special lotion. It's called "I Played Well, But My Teammates Let Me Down" by Lori
Howell. I mean, there's no doubt Datsyuk was incredible.
Yeah.
In that series, dude, and I think that we can only hope that the Sharks can find a way to contain Kessler. But I think you're right on the money. Special teams are going to be key, and you can't go much further than Sharks win four games against Detroit. They had power play goals in every single one of those wins.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to take advantage of the opportunities that are given you. And if the Sharks aren't able to do that against Vancouver, and we saw how scary their power play is when it's going on all cylinders, it's frightening. It's the best power play in the NHL. And if they can, if we give them too much opportunity and then we also don't take advantage of our opportunities, I mean, it may sound, you know,
it's so
pretty
cliche,
basic, but
yeah,
but it really is true here, dude.
I mean, and here's the other thing. I think Vancouver is a little bit vulnerable 5-on-5. You look at their top players, they're all minus. I mean, Kessler's a plus because the guy's been a beast. But the Sedins are minus, and they're not minus one. They're minus six, minus seven. In 13 games, minus seven.
Yeah, they really struggled. They really struggled against Nashville. Dude, what is this music?
Dude, what do you think? It's my music bed. You don't like it? Guess not, huh? Is that a no?
No, I like it.
I can turn it off whenever you want. And I can fix it in post, so there it is.
No,
watch this go away. And it goes away.
Oh.
Amazing.
I felt like I was in the movie Trainspotting for a second there.
Cool, huh?
I was going to end up climbing through a toilet.
Well, dude, it was like one of those things, you know?
Yeah,
it's
we
like
were charging.
Trying to get up
for, we were charging.
Get up for the series.
I'm feeling it. I'm up.
Yeah. Right,
Chris, how are you feeling?
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm a Red Wings fan. I'm outraged by the New York Islanders claiming Evgeny Nabokov on waivers and not allowing the Red Wings to have him for this series. If we had Nabby, this whole thing would have definitely been over in Game 5. Wings suck.
It was tough for him to say that last part, I guess. His voice kind of cracked there for a minute.
I'm going through puberty.
Let's talk about the Canucks defense here for a second. You know, They're not playing Keith Ballard right now.
No.
They're also not playing Andrew Alberts. They're playing Ashton Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a pop teeny bopper star. Ashton Rome and your friend Justin Bieber from last year.
Isn't Ashton Rome starring on Two and a Half Men next season?
I think he is. Just replaced Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, I believe so.
So, you know,
winning.
their top defenseman is Dan Hamhuis, a guy who reportedly the Sharks tried to sign last year. You know, I was interested to see that in game six against Nashville, the guy who played the second least amount of minutes actually was Christian Ehrhoff. I mean, he slipped all the way to five on their depth chart. I mean, I don't know if that's consistent throughout the entire playoffs, but I mean, you're looking at Saulo, Edler, Bieksa still drawn a ton of time, Hamhuis.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of this combination of guys, dude?
Yeah, I mean, Ehrhoff is sort of in the same boat as the Sedins right now. I think he might be leading the D in points, but 60 or 70% of his points are all on the power play. So it's a little bit deceiving when it looks like Ehrhoff is just killing it. It looks like he's doing well on the power play and maybe not anywhere else. I think he's a -4 or -5 as well. So yeah, if he's the number five, then that doesn't sound real good to me. If Vancouver has five defensemen better than Christian Ehrhoff, that makes me a little scared, especially since they have the $4.2 million scratch.
Right.
And Keith Ballard. So, I mean, their defense is as dangerous now as it's ever been, and Hamhuis and Bieksa is going to be their shutdown pairing, which I think is going to give any Sharks line some trouble. The key to the Sharks is, again, going to have to be balanced scoring, because I think whoever faces that line is going to be skating uphill most of the game. So it's got to be, we're going to have to see Pavelski step up again. We're going to have to see, hopefully, Ryan Clough come back. Speaking of Ryan Clough, he refuted the report that he suffered some sort of concussion. He said that they had it wrong. So we don't know what upper body injury he's got, but apparently it's not a concussion. So I guess that's a good thing, maybe.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm a Red Wings fan. Yo, dudes! I'm so excited. My Detroit Red Wings fan club packet arrived in the mail this morning. The slogan for the team next year is, we can win if we all play... We can win it all if we only play bankrupt teams from Arizona.
Something interesting. I was just looking up here, dude. You know, Ehrhoff and Bieksa both have taken six minor penalties in the playoffs. I mean, maybe that's not that big, but you look at the Sharks. You know, Demers has taken the most for D, and he's taken four. You know, so. Are those guys maybe vulnerable to taking some penalties? Possibly. You know, it's unfortunate. Ryan Clough actually has taken nine minor penalties.
Right.
And he's played one less game.
Right.
So that's something they're going to have to keep in check here. As
eight of those
penalties
have been in the offensive zone, I think, for Ryan Clough.
So if the Sedins, I mean, if you're Vancouver, are you going to match them up? I mean, we know McClellan is not afraid to fight fire with fire, and he'll be looking maybe to make the Sedins have to deal with Joe and Seto, and the player formerly known as Patrick Marleau, who, you know, we'll give him some credit. He did have the game-winning goal against Detroit, although I think maybe you could have tapped that in at the at the goal line. But he was there in the right spot. He did play well in that game.
Yes.
You know, so
I think he played
we're not
well.
Taking anything away from him. But I think people going bananas over the fact that he scored the game-winning goal, people just need to calm down a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was a 6-inch shot.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like Couture's goal where he top-shelf towered after Zetterberg gave him a gift-wrapped present. I'm sure that you must have had to change your drawers after that one.
You're absolutely right.
I can only imagine what you were saying to the television after that pass. It was just, wasn't even a takeaway. It was just a delicious pass, right to
just
the tape.
It was a delivery.
Logan Couture's special delivery, UPS. You don't have to sign for it.
I don't care what anybody says. That goal was the game.
Yeah.
That was it, huh?
It was. You know, it really.
Patrick Marleau, that goal was the game. Logan Couture won the game on that goal.
Yeah. Can't really dispute that. What do you make of the goaltending matchup?
Well, Luongo played for Canada, won the gold medal. I think despite the fact that Niemi came up pretty big here in the last series at key moments, you got to give the edge to Vancouver with Luongo. I mean, the guy, he had some bad games, and he had some bad games especially against Chicago, but I think he sort of pulled his head out a little bit against Nashville. So, I mean, how can you... I mean, I'm the first guy who said that Luongo hasn't done anything in the playoffs. I mean, I'm not gonna step away from that. But the fact is, he has the skill. He has the skill to win.
Oh, no doubt about that. But there's still sort of this cloud over him, right? I mean, just there just is. One thing that, I mean, I don't know if a lot of people are talking about this, and maybe it's an overrated statement, but, you know, how many of the Canucks have been to this point before? When's the last time?
Rafi Torres.
Well, Rafi Torres has been to the Cup Finals, right? Mm-hmm. LaPierre, I think, was on the Canadiens last year when they made it to the Conference Finals. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Was Christian Ehrhoff on the Sharks when they played Colorado in the conference finals in 2004?
They didn't play Colorado.
Oh, Calgary. Thank you. Yeah. He's real proud of himself over here. You know what? You know what? Shut your pie hole and read this.
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm a Red Wings fan. Many of the Detroit Red Wings players will be keeping busy this summer after their loss to San Jose. Look for Todd Bertuzzi, Tomas Holmstrom, and Ruslan Soleil to be starring in The Human Centipede on Ice. Damn you. The only issue is all three of them want to be in the middle. Yummy, nutty.
Wow, can't wait to see that.
Yeah. That's going to be an ice show.
Would you rather go see that or Jeff Dunham?
Ooh, I'll go with Human Centipede on Ice.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
Absolutely.
Sharks as a team, almost to a man, these guys have been here before and they know what happened. I mean, they were embarrassed by Chicago 4-0. I mean, does that play a factor here that the Sharks maybe have a little more of a chip on their shoulder than Vancouver at this point?
I think so. I feel like there's going to be more. I don't know what's going on in their head, but I know that there's a lot of external pressure in Vancouver because they have at least as much, maybe not as much baggage as the Sharks, but they have plenty of choker baggage on Vancouver. And a lot of, I've seen several posts, you know, from the witty commentators out there saying this is the battle of the chokers in the Western Conference Finals. And it's like, okay, you know, that's, you know, took a long time to come up with that one. But, you know, I mean, they're going to be, I mean, the fact that they're the number one seed, they had, you know, best power play, gave up the, you know, had the most goals, gave up the least number. I mean, they've had about the most dominating regular season performances a team can possibly have. They're going to be facing a lot of pressure. And it does make me wonder, you know, I'm not a guy that believes in chemistry and all that crap, but it does make me wonder how these guys are going to respond being under all that huge weight, you know, of all that stuff. You know, the fact that they almost blew it against Chicago and now they're here and now there's only four teams left. So the media scrutiny is going to be even that much more focused on them. I really wonder what's going on. So, you know, what do you think? Do you think that could actually help the Sharks in some way? Or do you think it's just going to be Vancouver is, you know, has been the better team on paper in that, and you got to list them as the favorite here?
Oh, I think that definitely could help the Sharks, especially if they win game one. And I think that that's important, actually.
Yeah.
If they can go in and win game one, then, you know, you've got 100 tons of pressure just riding right on the chest of the Vancouver Canucks. And they'll be feeling it for sure. You know, we talked about in game seven that if, let's say, the Sharks fell down 2-0, I could very easily have seen the tank start to turn.
Yeah.
Curdle a little bit.
Absolutely.
And people could have maybe even started reacting negatively way sooner than they should. This seems like, you know, Sharks fans sometimes, not everybody, but people, the boo birds like to come out when they're winning 3-1 and there's a bad power play. You hear boo sometimes, then you hear pizza, you know, from the guy in our section to our right.
Yeah.
I think the pressure factor, there's a lot more pressure on Vancouver than there is on the Sharks, you know, definitely.
And reading the Puck Daddy preview, everybody on Puck Daddy predicted the Canucks winning, so.
You know what that means.
No, it's pretty good, right? That's pretty good for the Sharks. Our boy EJ Raddick picked the Sharks, though, so you know I like him sticking up for the Sharks, still believing. And quick aside, we know EJ just announced this week that he's actually going to be leaving ESPN, moving to the NHL Network and NHL.com. So all the best to him. We hope EJ will be back on the podcast at some point. Maybe
we've been in touch. We've been in touch, and he. He confirmed that he will still be returning to the podcast. So very exciting. You know, I think the Sharks have a real good shot here, dude.
Me too.
I really do. And even though we probably would consider Vancouver to be the favorite, I think they certainly have a lot more to lose But it's key. It's real key that they win one in Vancouver. It's real key.
Yes.
Because then if they drop both, then you'll see like the memories of last year kind of creeping up in the Sharks' mind. Right. Everyone's going to be talking about they're going to get swept again and this and that. And, you know, the way Vancouver's been playing, I mean, they almost did what we did with Detroit. They almost blew it, almost dropped it to Chicago. And they did not have an easy time with Nashville. And they had a hard time.
They lost game five at home.
They did.
Up 3-1.
Yeah.
And they should have won that game.
So Sharks have crumbled.
Yes, it does.
Sharks have crumbled in a few pressure spots. So has Vancouver this postseason. They're both still here. I think that says a lot for the character of both teams. We will see. I mean, what do you think about the supporting cast of both these teams? You've got, you know, the depth of both forward sides, dude. Who do you give the edge to?
I give it to Vancouver at this point, just for the Rafi Torres factor, because it seems like the Sharks have not found a fourth line combination that they like. You know, the Ben Ferriero overtime goal notwithstanding, it's been a little bit of a musical chairs. Mayer's in, Mayer's out, Eager in and out. You know, McGinn suddenly finds a resurgence. Who knows what we're going to see in game one versus Vancouver. Maybe McClellan will decide that Jamal Mayer's matches up better versus that line. So it seems like LaPierre and Torres have been pretty constant on the fourth line, and they seem to be getting a lot more, a few more minutes than the Sharks' fourth line. They're sort of in the 6, 7, 8 minute range. Seems like they're more comfortable rolling four lines, and so I don't think that's to the Sharks' benefit. So, I give them the edge on the fourth line. I give the Sharks the edge on the third line, though, and that may be a more important matchup in the series than the fourth line, because 6 minutes out of 60 is not a big deal. We're talking 14 minutes out of 60. That's, I'm not a math major, but that's over twice of a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, the guys they're playing in the 15 to, you know, 16-minute range, you've got Yannick Hansen, you got 3 points out of him. You've got Mikael Samuelsson. You got 3 points out of him.
Who's not going to play game one?
You know, you've got. You're having a hard time finding some of these other guys. You know, you have. Let's see, LaPierre is playing 13 minutes. Got 1 point. You know, for the Sharks, their supporting cast guys have been a lot more effective. Mm-hmm. You know, in terms of producing. Wellwood has 7 points. You know, Mitchell's got 5. Ferriero has a game-winning goal.
Right.
You know.
Well, I'm gonna turn to Chris. So you're a little bit removed from the situation, obviously. Doug's wearing the Sharks jersey. I'm the Sharks fan. We're picking the Sharks at the Sharks podcast. So what do you say?
Hi, I'm Chris, and I'm a Red Wings fan. On Thursday night, we witnessed the final game of Mike Modano's career. His greatest moment in this series was emptying Gordie Howe's colostomy bag.
It's taken that kind of turn.
You know what they say, no spills.
No spills.
And there were no spills.
He's good. No, but seriously, Chris, what do you think? I mean, do you see the Vancouver skill set overwhelming here, or do you think the Sharks actually are going to win?
So my take is Roberto Luongo is a head case. He's going to give up 6 goals in one or two of these games.
Ooh.
Wow.
Keep talking.
That's bold.
The Sedins are what Joe Thornton used to be tagged as, soft in the playoffs. I don't see Vancouver playing a series like Detroit did against San Jose. With that said, if San Jose carries the momentum from round two into round three, Vancouver doesn't stand a shot. If San Jose is too burned out from round two in round three, I don't think they stand a shot.
Right. So the first 2 games of this series are going to be absolutely key.
Extremely telling. Should we call our shot, dude? What are you
going
to say?
I'm going to say Sharks in 6. I'm going big here. I think we're going to see Sharks at least split in Vancouver, and then it's going to it might be tied, and then I could see Sharks winning 2 in a row. 5 and 6, and that's going to be that. So I'm gonna pick Sharks in 6 here.
I'm going to be pretty boring and actually copy you. I mean, I think it's Sharks in 6. I think at the after 4 games, it's going to be 2-2. And that 5th game is going to be the one where Luongo has his meltdown at home in front of the home fans. That's the blowout. And then the Sharks play a real tough game in game 6 at home. We'll be looking at the Stanley Cup Finals in San Jose. Chris, what do you say?
Vancouver in four.
You're lucky we're out. I'm going to make you read this human centipede one again.
The only reason I say that is if I say what I really think, it's not going to happen.
Okay.
So I'm going to say Vancouver in four.
All right. All right, great. We will take it.
All right. Let's take a couple minutes because we're nearing the end here and talk about the Eastern Conference, Boston versus Tampa. It seems like a lot of people are taking Tampa, which actually surprises me a little bit. Dude, are you going to go with the the sexy Steve Yzerman pick, or are you going to stick with me and continue to ride Boston? Because I had Boston winning the Eastern Conference when they made the Thomas Caberly trade at the deadline, and I'm not dodging away from it now.
I'm going Tampa Bay. I think that, you know, Tim Thomas is the best thing that Boston has going, and
he's American.
Dwayne Rolison is as capable of stealing a series. He's not a better goalie than Tim Thomas, but that guy can completely steal a game or two or three or four. And when you've got two good goalies, I'm going with the team that has the better high-end offensive talent. And you want to talk about a series that might come down to special teams. I mean, if Boston mm-hmm. takes penalties and allows that Tampa Bay power play to get out there, they're going to lose. I'm going Lightning in seven. I think it's going to go seven. I think it's going to be a great series.
Okay. I'm going to go Boston in six. I think that the defense is going to matter here.
Okay.
I mean, Boston has better defense and they have more depth. You're absolutely right. Tampa Bay has higher end offensive talent. There's no doubt about it. But if Boston can stay out of the penalty box, frankly, it doesn't matter if they go on the power play or not, because they're firing at like 5% literally in the playoffs on the power play. So it doesn't even matter. It's like 5% is like essentially their even strength. So it doesn't even matter. So as long as they can find Lucic, if he can actually jump out, because I think he had two goals in the very last game. If he can actually find some offensive depth, I know some people saying they lost Patrice Bergeron, and that's going to be a huge blow. If Lucic can fill that role, then Boston wins the series. If he doesn't, then they could be in trouble. But I'm still picking Boston. Better D, better goaltending. That's what matters here. Chris?
I'm going to say it's going to be Red Wings West versus Red Wings Southeast.
There was something in, I don't know, some blog role that I read that was implying that with all the potential movement of different franchises, that the Wings could be moved to the East. Chris, what do you think about that?
It's anybody's guess what's going to happen, but I think the teams in the Western Conference want Detroit to stay there so they can continue to sell out those games.
That's true. I would think the Wings would want to move, because then they get to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals like for every year for the next 5 years, because there isn't like any team that's really that great in the East right now, except for maybe the Penguins if Crosby comes back. I mean, Washington's obviously hasn't shown enough yet. So
it's tough because, you know, part of you is like, yeah, get out. You know, I would love to have them switch spots with the Thrashers when they move to Vegas or whatever
Winnipeg
happens.
Winnipeg, yeah.
But I think I'd be sad about it, actually. I mean,
I like the
so
rivalry.
Much, yeah. Aww. I mean, it really, I would miss you. I would miss you.
What are you talking about? We can do this after the Stanley Cup Finals instead of after round two.
No, you guys wouldn't make it. But
you
guys said you'd make it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah. You definitely would lose there.
Then you'd lose to the Islanders.
Yeah. Probably in five.
Okay. I'll go six on the Islanders.
Maybe seven. You guys love to live in seven.
So yeah, I want them to stick in the West. There's some good rivalries here.
Yeah,
you know that I wouldn't want.
Yeah, that would be just fundamentally wrong, I think. Although geographically maybe correct, but
mm-hmm.
it'll depend, I guess, on what happens. And it seems like Phoenix is going to stay, mm-hmm. and they're kind of waffling on Atlanta. I have a feeling
Atlanta's going to go.
Yeah, that they're going to move. You think they'll go to Winnipeg?
Yeah, I think that's the front runner, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'd go there. I think hockey fans sort of want to see that. I think hockey fans think that Canada sort of got a raw deal and Gary Bettman's sort of anti-Canadian in certain ways, especially with the expansion strategy. So,
aren't we all?
A little bit. A little bit. But, Winnipeg, I think, can support a team. Actually, the real market that would make sense would be the Hamilton area, but, of course, the Maple Leafs would never allow it. So
right.
if there was a place where a team really should go, it would be more Southern Ontario. But
what about this talk of a second team in Toronto?
I just don't think that can happen.
Well, there's three teams in the New York area.
But I think it comes down to some sort of territorial rights or something. I mean, Toronto's got, I mean, they're making so much money from corporate sponsorships. I mean, they're charging so much money for tickets. And you're going to dilute that fan base by creating a new team that may be cheaper, maybe a little bit easier to root for since Toronto's so terrible. That's just giving money away. They're cannibalizing their own market if they allow that to happen. So Toronto's going to fight that to the last man.
Dude, before we wrap this up, I just want to say, we talk about hockey players being tough. How about Ian Wife's wife holding that baby in until the game's over?
She was in labor during game 7, and she told the Sharks PR guy, tell Ian only after the game is over to come and find me, and we're going to the hospital. That's what she said.
Really?
She's watching the game in the stands in labor pains.
Kind of that girl up.
Yeah.
That is an all-star.
Right.
All-star wife.
You get Doug Murray to teach her how to hit. She's on the team.
Put her
year.
Out there.
Amen.
Cheers, Chris. Thank you. You're a good sport.
Good
we'll
sport,
see you again
Chris.
Next year.
Good luck, guys.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you again.
Probably, I'd say, after game two.
After game two.
Yeah.
We'll be back again.
Okay. Later.
Later.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.